KFYI, the Mike Broomhead Show.
We have got the never-ending saga around here. It is more like the days of our lives should be what the name of anything that happens in the city of Phoenix. Big breaking news. I just got it this afternoon. You're going to be the first to hear it. I'm glad you're here this afternoon. It's the Mike Broomhead Show.
I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
All right, here's the story. If you think that the Councilman Michael Johnson story is old and people are like, what are you talking about that for? It's old news. There's nothing going on. Well. No, it's never over. This is Phoenix. It's never over. It's just like the soap operas. It's just like the days of our lives. There's always a new character. There's always something goes. Someone falls down a well. Someone gets kidnapped. You know how it is. Someone bangs their head. They have amnesia. Well, Phoenix is no different. There's always something going on in Phoenix. Well, I have in my hand, and it's available to you at KFYI.com. If you go to the webpage, you go to KFYI.com, click on my picture. Right on the front page is a picture of me. Or you can put in the keyword Broomhead. It will take you to my page. I have up there documents that are an information request, MOU request for information in accordance with the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association. That would be our friends at PLEA. A memorandum of understanding. That's MOU. They love those little, you know. I am requesting the city provide materials relating to this. I don't want to have to read this whole thing, but I'm going to read part of it to you and let you know what's going on. On Friday, April 2nd, 2010, between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. at approximately 7th Street and Watkins, which is south of McDowell, officer, and all the names are redacted, by the way, stopped a vehicle for speeding. They were doing 60 miles an hour in a 40-mile-per-hour zone. The driver had two different types of driver's license suspensions. The passenger was the owner of the vehicle. When advised that the car was going to be impounded for 30 days. Now, here it is, the statute, 28-35-11. That's the statute. Here's the deal. You and I are both very upset about the people that drive around our city and hit us with their cars, and they don't have insurance. They don't have a driver's license. So here's what Phoenix PD does. I happen to love this. They pull you over. It's statutory. They do it all the time. I'm telling you right now, I have seen this happen and heard this on the police radios no less than 10 or 15 times when I have been out, when I told you I've ridden with friends of mine with Phoenix PD. It happens all the time. This is not an unusual occurrence. Suspended driver's license, or if you don't have insurance, whatever that case may be, they call for a wrecker. They impound the car for 30 days, and they put the word out there to people, if you're going to drive on our streets, you're going to be insured, right? So far, you're with me. The guy is suspended. The girl in the passenger seat is the owner of the car, but the guy driving has two different types of driver's license suspensions, and he's driving 60 in a 40. All you photo radar people, listen up. This is why cops should be pulling people over and not taking their flipping picture, okay? So the officer, the passenger, when she was told that the car was going to be impounded for 30 days, she stated that she was Councilman Mike Johnson's niece and requested that the car be released to her. She said, "Do you know who I am?" I don't know that she said that exactly, but that's one of those words. Let me give you a bit of advice from Uncle Mike, who has had a few traffic tickets in his life. When you get pulled over by a cop, probably not a good idea to ever say, "I pay your salary, you work for me," or "Do you know who I am?" or "I know the mayor." Probably not going to get you out of the ticket. It might get a little bit of laughter from the cop because it's probably not the first time they'd heard it in the last 35 minutes. But she said, "Do you know who I am? I'm Councilman Michael Johnson's niece." To which the cop said, "I don't care if you're the president." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. It would have been funny if he did, but he didn't. And requested that the car be released to her. She wants special treatment. She's the niece of a councilman, and she thinks she deserves some special treatment. So the cop did his job. When the officer refused, she requested to speak to his supervisor. A sergeant was called to the scene. At the scene, she was told by the female owner of the car that she was pregnant, not feeling well, and that's why she allowed the suspended driver to drive her car. She stated that she was aware that the driver had some problems with his license about a year ago, but believed everything was cleared up with his driving privileges. The sergeant asked the female owner if she wished to see fire due to her being pregnant and not feeling well. The female owner replied that she was not ill enough for that course of action. The sergeant explained that the car would not be released and explained the statute concerning impounding vehicles operated by a driver with a suspended driver's license or driving privileges, what it says here. The female driver, or the, it says driver here, but the female passenger then requested to speak to his supervisor. So the two cops are there. She doesn't like what the cop and the sergeant are telling her, so she wants to see the boss's boss. Sergeant then contacted the lieutenant on the phone. The lieutenant gave instructions that the car not be impounded so as not to throw gas on the fire of the current political situation. So plea is requesting the digital video and audio recordings taken by the officer at the traffic stop and subsequent contact. A CD copy of this video was given to the sergeant and the officer, current motor supervisor. Now, I will ask you this, everyone. What would happen if this were you? Councilman Johnson, his niece is out riding around with a guy, suspended two different ways. What if this were you? What if this was your child? Do you think they'd get their car back? You think there's a chance in the world they'd get their car back? So Councilman Johnson has been running up and down and screaming at anybody who would listen, along with Nowakowski screaming, si se puede, anywhere they can, and running the Phoenix Police Department into the ground as a sack full of racist fools is what they've been doing. That's what they've been doing. They do nothing with their badges except drive around town looking to hassle black people and Mexicans. That's what they do. It's all racial. So she was told by a cop and a sergeant, absolutely not. The statute is very clear. The lieutenant actually is the one who released the car. Now, I don't know if this makes any, you know, I don't know if it makes any difference in the grand scheme of Michael Johnson's case, but I will tell you this. Racism. Oh, and here's something else. I have told you for a long time, I don't think the cops are racist. You want to start fueling the racist fire? Let me fuel the racist fire for you for just a moment. I know that the officer and the sergeant were white. I know that the lieutenant is African-American. You think he was playing favorites for somebody that was an African-American that got pulled over? No, he wasn't. That's ridiculous. He was doing exactly what he said in the report. He was saying, let's not throw fuel on an already combustible situation. I think what he was doing was looking at a bigger picture of, instead of enforcing the law like we do to everybody else, let's make an exception so that now there's not one more case of somebody in Michael Johnson's family running around saying the cops are picking on him. Doesn't matter the guy was suspended two different ways. Doesn't matter that this guy also was doing 60 and a 40. All that matters is that Councilman Johnson runs his mouth all over the city. Nation of Islam shows up, everybody else runs his mouth all over the city. And because of that, his niece gets preferential treatment. Anybody think it's fair? Anyone think this is fair? 602-260-KFYI, 602-260-5394. It's a phone number to the program. Mike Broomhead at KFYI.com is my email address. These documents are available on the KFYI webpage. Go to KFYI.com. You click on my picture. You can read what I just read to you is right there. Names are redacted, but it's not a report. It's a request for information. They want to get a memorandum of understanding. Plea wants to get, because, you know, plea represents the officers. There is a sergeant and lieutenant union that's separate, you know, supervisors, you know, and then the working guys. So plea is involved because the cop did his job. And I'm sure they want to look into this and they want to find out exactly what's going on. So I'll let you weigh in. We're going to take some calls from you on this. I'm not looking to throw gas on the fire, but I'll tell you what. If I were Michael Johnson, I would have been telling my entire family, keep your nose clean, but don't use my name. You know, and here we are. I'm Councilman Johnson's niece, and I want to see your boss. Okay, good for you. So we'll grab some calls. Check the documents on the website. Give us a call, 602-260-KFYI. More on the other side. Don't go away.
George Newery in Coast to Coast tonight at 10. Mike Broomhead now on News Talk 550 KFYI.
KFYI.com.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Now, listen, if you want to join us on SmackDown, April 14th, we got the big SmackDown show during this time slot out at Toby Keith's place. Toby Keith's, I love this bar and grill. Now, I am going to be leaving for SmackDown. We're going to do a motorcycle ride. It's Arizona Bike Week. I'll have my bike out. We'll be at Victory of Mesa, Victory Motorcycles on Country Club. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to be there. The ride leaves right at 3, so I can be over at SmackDown by 3:30. If you'd like to join me, I've got the listing of it up on my Facebook page if you want to find me there. But make sure you join us because we're going to have a great time on the 14th at SmackDown, so I hope you can be there. Want to get some phone calls and get your opinion on this because, listen, we've been following this incident between Michael Johnson, the councilman, and a cop that took him to the ground and handcuffed him when he was trying to break police lines and get into the scene of a fire. He didn't cry just police abuse. He cried racism. He said this was race-related. Okay? And his excuse for the racism is a joke. Michael Johnson said that when he was taken to the ground by the cop, a fireman said to the cop, "Do you know who that is? That's Councilman Johnson." And the cop said, "I don't care if he's the president of the United States." That's how Michael Johnson says that this is racist. Because he's black and the president is. That's ridiculous. He was just saying, I don't care if he's a councilman, if he's the mayor, if he's the governor, or he's the president of the United States. So now Michael Johnson's niece says, "You know who I am? I'm Michael Johnson's niece. You should give me my car back." Well, the report is at KFYI.com. Go to KFYI.com and go to my page. Click on my picture or go to the link. You can read the documents for yourself. This is a request for information from PLEA, the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association, to get the audio and the video. Our news department is going to have updates on this soon. They've been calling the mayor's office and the chief, and I'm making friends downtown. But, you know, this is an important deal. We can't get away with this. As a matter of fact, let me go out. Let's go to Tempe. Now, Tim, you have a car in impound, right? Hello, Tim.
Yes.
Now, it says here you have your car is in impound right now?
Yes, it's over $500 and some. It's been there past 30-day mark.
Because you didn't have the money to get it out?
No, I do have the money to get it out, but Scottsdale Police Department is playing a little game. With a big grin on her face, she comes back to me and tells me that I have to have the title not only certified and checked out my friend's driving record and his insurance company and everything else to meet their criteria to get the vehicle out, returns with a big grin on her face telling me that I have to have certified copies of the information. They won't accept it. So I have to go $15 every day until I can produce this.
What was the reason it was impounded?
The same reason. I have a suspended driver's license.
Okay.
and revoked.
So
I was on private property when I was pulled over.
But and the thing is, Tim, you didn't get a break. Didn't matter who you knew, they took your car.
You're damn right.
Yeah. So now you've got someone that's a niece of a councilman who's involved in a political scandal that he created, and she gets special treatment. I that to me is that's the part of this that makes me crazy is the fact that they're giving someone special treatment that is screaming that they were treated poorly. It makes me nuts that they're doing this for these people. Let me go to Alex in Ajo. Alex, go right ahead.
Yeah, you're screaming malfeasance, nonfeasance, misfeasance. It's all violating the law. When a second-line supervisor comes on and makes a decision overruling his first-line supervisor and the patrol
right.
officer, you're violating the law there that you can't enforce laws just because of race, creed, or color. You have to enforce them equally upon everybody. Otherwise, they're going to claim that you are racist.
Yeah, and not only that, let me ask you this, because in a working environment in which, you know, officers are trained and they don't want robots, they want people that can make decisions. And an officer goes out there and the officer does his job and his immediate supervisor does the right thing and backs what he is doing because he's well within his rights and he's actually doing his job. I wonder what this does to the morale in the chain of command. Now, I don't know if this lieutenant is a well-respected guy. I'm not trying to bash him. But now we've got a political situation that's already bad in that part of town. And now you've got some type, at least on the face, some division within the police department because a lieutenant shoots down a supervisor and a cop's decisions that are made on the street. I don't think it's good for morale inside that squad. No way.
No way is it good for morale. You're going to you will, what message are you sending to your troops?
Yeah.
You're telling them that, the decisions that they're going to be made are going to be overruled by, politicians' niece. That's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100% wrong. Alex, I appreciate the phone call. I'm glad you got through. Let's go up to Buckeye. Dave, you're going to get the last word on this in this segment. Go right ahead.
Mike, what if this guy would have had a car accident? He's suspended. He has no business behind the wheel of a car. I don't care if she's sick or not. It really doesn't make any difference. He has no legal right to be behind a car of a wheel. If he has an accident and somebody gets killed, what happens then?
Yeah, and that's, you know, and David, what's funny about this is, and your point is well taken, and that's exactly why they impound these vehicles, and thanks for the call. That's exactly why they do this. Here's what happens. This guy, because they didn't release him. They released the car to her. So she got her car. I don't know if she drove it away or she had somebody else come, but there's consequences for doing something stupid. She admitted that she knew he had problems with his driver's license. She said, well, I thought maybe they were cleared up. Doesn't matter. The fact is, none of us get that kind of treatment. None of us do. I'm going to get a ticket. You're going to get a ticket. That's just how it goes. You're going to get your car impounded. And we always talk about consequences, don't we? We always talk about the consequences have to be severe enough to not want to take the risk. The risk-reward factor is always huge. And when people know, if I get caught driving without a driver's license, it's one thing if you get locked up. Believe me, you think about this. Most of us that are working people, you're working paycheck to paycheck. You can't afford the tickets you get, but you surely can't afford a towing charge and an impound fee. And imagine what it would do to your life and work situation. You spend 6-8 hours in jail and you bond out. It costs you some money. That's horrible. It's terrible. Imagine what happens when you get out of jail, but you don't have a vehicle anymore. Your car's gone for 30 days. You cannot get your car back for 30 days. What does that do to you? That's painful, isn't it? I mean, that hurts. That is detrimental to your forward progress. You got to get to work. You got to get to where you need to go. So what does it do? It makes you very aware of your status with your driver's license. You'll pay your tickets. You'll drive a little bit smarter. You'll make sure your insurance is current. All of these things are put in place so that the punishment far outweighs the reward of doing something stupid. We won't get caught. No big deal. Don't worry about it. It doesn't make any sense. But when you have special, because I'll tell you right now, if I was in that part of town, if I was in that part of Phoenix, this is a true story. If I'm driving in South Phoenix and I get pulled over, and they want to lock me, I have my driver's license is fine. But if something like that were to happen to me, or even to any of you today, I would tell that cop, if you lock me up for this, if you take my car, I promise you, I'm going to be calling the Mike Broomhead Show at KFYI and screaming preferential treatment. And it's absolutely justified in my mind. I understand the rationale that the lieutenant had, but when you start giving people special treatment, this is what happens. And I don't know how the cop feels. I don't know how the sergeant feels about the boss, the lieutenant being put in that position or putting them in that position. But the fact of the matter is, somebody got treatment that was unfair because their uncle is screaming racism. I don't know how it makes you feel, but it really riles me up a little bit. When we get back, we've got an update on the Councilman Johnson situation. If you are just joining us, there's more to the Councilman Johnson story. We updated at 4 o'clock. Well, there is more information. Public information officer from Phoenix PD is trying to clarify. I am going to see if this is going to hold any water. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Don't go away.
Sean Hannity, tomorrow afternoon at 1. Mike Broomhead now on News Talk 550 KFYI.
KFYI.com.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Now, up on the webpage, if you are at near your computer or when you get home, listen, you don't have to shut us off when you get home, by the way. When you get out of your car, go inside and go to KFYI.com. We're available on the live streaming audio. The webcam is there. While you're at KFYI.com, click on my picture, and this document is there. If you're just joining us, you know the Councilman Johnson story, the story with the cop and the councilman. Well, it just got a little more convoluted because his niece got pulled over. She was the passenger in her own vehicle. She let some guy drive it, and they got pulled over. His driver's license was suspended, and according to the statutes, the car gets impounded for 30 days. There's a lot of people that have had their vehicles impounded for 30 days for driving on a suspended driver's license. That's the law. And again, I'll tell you, the downside of this is I guarantee you there are people with photo radar tickets that didn't know they had photo radar tickets because they weren't served, because the people serving the tickets didn't really serve the tickets. They just said they did. And your license gets suspended. You know, my story at my house where I got served with somebody else's ticket. Not that I'm bitter about photo radar, which I'm going to get to in a moment. But they got pulled over. His license was suspended two different ways, two different reasons. And they were going to impound the car. She said, can I have my car? And they said, no, it's got to be impounded. Well, I am Councilman Michael Johnson's niece, and I want to see your supervisor. So the sergeant comes, and the sergeant tells her the same story. She says, I'm pregnant. I don't feel well. That's why he's driving. So he says, you want me to call you an ambulance? Do you need medical attention? No, I'm not that sick, but I want my car. Nope, you can't have the car. Well, I want to see your supervisor. So they called a lieutenant on the telephone. Now, here's where it gets a little dicey, because the lieutenant releases the car and tells the sergeant to tell the officer, give the girl the car. Seems like a big double standard to me. Well, we've got conflicting reports on how this works. First, we have the PIO, the public information officer from Phoenix PD, or one of them, Luis Zamudio. And this is a quote. I know we have this audio of Luis Zamudio, and what he said was the reason the lieutenant did this.
They were still going to go and tow the car, but she pleaded and asked to speak to supervisors. The officer made contact with his supervisor and advised him what was said and done. Therefore, he contacted another level of command staff, which is a lieutenant, explained to him what had happened without even explaining that the niece was Councilman Johnson, or the passenger was the niece to Councilman Johnson. So, however, based on the circumstances of the traffic stop, knowing that she was ill, she had no knowledge that he was suspended, and she had all the items needed for a vehicle. She had a complete registration. She had a driver's license. She had proof of insurance. They made a decision that they were going to go ahead and release the car to her. However, when the lieutenant made the decision that they were going to tow it, he had no knowledge that she was a niece to Councilman Johnson.
No way that's true. Sorry, Officer Zamudio or Sergeant Zamudio. I don't know if he's a sergeant or not, but no way that that's true. No way that you don't have in this political arena right now, there's no way you've got Councilman Johnson's niece there demanding to see two bosses that you don't relay to that lieutenant that is Councilman Johnson's niece. No way that he didn't know that. But we've got a quote from, is this from Plea? Is it Mark Spencer? Mark Spencer from Plea. This is what he has. This is a rebuttal from Plea.
Why would an off-scene supervisor override the decision of both an on-scene supervisor and an on-scene officer? That is inconsistent with the application of not only law, but of our current policy. That leaves a question, and it's very frustrating to frontline officers to see policy and or statute inconsistently applied.
Right. And on top of that, in the request for more information, the MOU request form, memorandum of understanding that Plea made, here's what they say, and this is in quotation marks. The lieutenant, and his name is redacted from the paperwork, the lieutenant gave instruction that the car was not to be impounded so as, and there's the quote, not to throw gas on the fire of the current political situation. So if that's true, why would the lieutenant say we aren't going to throw gas on the fire if he had no idea that this was the niece of a councilman? But look at where this, again, use your logic. Use logic. You get pulled over, and you, let's say you actually know the mayor. Let's say you know Phil Gordon. Let's say you're friends with Phil Gordon. Now, I know the mayor. But if I got pulled over, I'm not saying, do you know who I am? I know the mayor. They're going to say, good. Good for you. Here's your ticket. Tell the mayor I said hi. But let's say I did. Let's say I'm one of those idiots that wants to do that, that wants to try to name drop to get out of a ticket. If that happened to me, and I say to the officer at the scene, listen, I am really good friends with Phil Gordon, and I'd like to talk to your supervisor. And so they do. Sergeant comes to the scene. Sergeant, I tell him my tale of woe, and the sergeant says, nothing we can do for you. Sorry, you're going to lose your car. Listen, I know the mayor. I'd like to talk to your supervisor. So he complies because I do know the mayor. They know who I am. So they call the lieutenant. You don't think in that phone call they say to the lieutenant, we got a guy here, and it's this bonehead from KFYI, you know, the one that's always railing on the air about you and us, and he says he knows the mayor. What do you want us to do? You think they're letting me go? You think that I'm not going to lose my car? Of course I'm going to lose my car. Of course I'm going to lose my car. So the lieutenant here absolutely knew. There's no way around it that this lieutenant knew who this was. You talk, after what happened with Councilman Johnson, you're not going to pass on to your boss. We've got the niece of that councilman here at a scene, and we're going to tow her car, and that's a piece of information you don't pass on to the lieutenant? Come on. And Phoenix PD right now in the middle of an uproar with the councilman, and the threat or the assumption being made from the Hispanic and the black community is that the police hide things and don't tell the truth, and they make things up on police reports. And now we got this coming out. We got a PIO saying that a lieutenant didn't know something that logic doesn't say he didn't know. He absolutely knew. No doubt that he knew.